running parallel to the history of art is a long line of art forgeries. Exposed fakes have resulted in scandal, embarrassment, financial ruin, and now a one-man show. The exhibit, called Faux Real, faux as in fake, opened on April 1st. Another wink, wink, nudge, nudge there. To showcase counterfeit works by the prolific forger Mark Landis. Landis attempted to give hundreds of forgeries to institutions across the country and was often successful. Matt Leininger was the first to spot a Landis forgery. He's currently director of museum services at the University of Cincinnati, and he and Aaron Cowan are co-curators of the Faux Real show. Matt Leininger, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you were first registrar at the Oakland City Museum of Art when you first met Mark Landis. What was your impression of him?
Yes, it was in June of 2008 in Oklahoma City. That he was an eccentric character and seemed to be philanthropic, promising these amazing artworks from his family's collection and promising more in the future as well as money for an endowment.
And how did then you then discover that the work he was proposing were forgeries?
I did. That was August of 2008. I had looked at watercolor by Paul Signac, and it showed up in a press release at the Savannah College of Art and Design, gifted under the same name. And I looked at an oil and panel by Stanislaus Lapine, and it showed up in a press release at the St. Louis University Museum of Art. It was at that point I took the gifts into the clean shop and looked at them underneath ultraviolet light, and wherever the image was manipulated, and the examples of the oils on panels, wherever he didn't paint over the digital reproduction, under the black light, it glowed white.
Wow.
And then that got my suspicions even higher. So I looked under these at these pieces underneath magnification, and sure enough, you could see the pixels from a digital reproduction.
Apparently, he often gave duplicate works to several museums. And from what I read, these look pretty good to the naked eye, but fall apart upon further inspection. So how many how could these museums be fooled?
I don't know. As registrar, when I was in Oklahoma City, I did my due diligence and was getting ready to complete the worksheets to take to the committee to accession these pieces. And I wanted more information. And because I had certain fields that I need to fill out on the worksheets that the committee would want to know, where is this piece from? You know, what's its title? What's its medium? And that's how it all started. And I remember the date, August 7th, 2008. Mm.
So I guess he was donating kind of lesser-known works to smaller museums, you know. So I guess he did try to pass off a Picasso, for example. But
he did, and we actually have that in the exhibition.
You do, you know, art forgeries have made museums vulnerable to not just a loss of money, but a loss of face. Yet Landis has never been charged with a crime. Why not?
Well, he's not selling anything, and he's not receiving anything in return as far as monetary gain. Just getting treated nice and catered to, because here you have this philanthropic collector that you know, is presenting all of these amazing things, and you just can't take things at face value. And I think that museums are going to have to start doing more due diligence on their part.
So that's what he gets out of it. He's being treated nicely.
Yes, I have a Emmy and Oscar nominated film crew from New York that started working on a documentary a year ago, and they actually used their budget and brought Landis to the opening reception to Faux Real. And that's when I got to see him for the second time in 5 years. And same approach. And he walked into the gallery. We were going to offer to take him through. And he just threw his hands in the air and he says, I've seen all this stuff already. Is there anybody here to talk to that's nice?
Well, you know,
I said, Mark, I'm nice. You know?
Well, what was that like for you? I mean, I first read about your discovery in the New York Times, and this was, I guess, a year ago. They called you the Javert to Mr. Landis's Valjean, you know, so we have this image of you tracking him a few steps behind. Not in a black cloak, but with a database. So you worked with him on this exhibit. So what's that like, meeting your Valjean?
Well, I'm just grateful that he was cooperative. Actually, the director of the DAP galleries at UC has been basically the one in contact with Landis, and now that the show is up and running and being successful and getting all this attention, Landis is actually working with Aaron Cowan at the DAP Galleries, and they're going state by state, starting with Florida. And Lance actually sent an email back, and he says, yeah, I remember about 12 years ago being in Sarasota and also Palm Beach. And then he said, also under Richard Mason. And so I know of four aliases, and I continued to look into this to see if this Richard Mason that he mentioned was an alias that he used, you know, 10, 12 years ago in Florida.
We're speaking with Matt Leininger, co-curator of the Faux Real exhibit at the University of Cincinnati. It's a one-man show by the art forger and donor Mark Landis. Yeah, so you discovered these several aliases, a Jesuit priest, you know, pulling up in a red Cadillac, pious collection. You know, it strikes me, Matt, it almost sounds like a Banksy prank on the art world. You know what I mean? That he's...
Well, you know, I feel that, you know, he is talented, but, you know, paint your own stuff and give those to museums. You know, don't forge others' works and sign their names to them. I mean, that can be, you know, defaming to the character of the artist's estates, the artists themselves, and their family. So, you know, he's got to be careful. The Picasso we have in the show, he actually signed over the digital reproduction, signed Picasso's name.
Mm. Well, he must be pretty good. How does he actually do it?
I would love to know what kind of printer he has. At first, he was doing things by hand, you know, drawing out of catalogs and pictures. But now he's got some high-end color printer where he prints out these pieces and works over them, you know, colored pencil, oil paint, that sort of thing. And when he was at the reception, he says, you know, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. And I said, Mark, you can stop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, after doing it for 30-some years, I'm kind of losing interest in it, and it's just kind of getting boring, and traveling's getting more expensive, and it's just, you know, so I really don't believe that he can stop, or he will stop. I hope that he does. You know, museums, they accept something that is a forgery or a fake, and a donor finds out about that, they might think twice about donating artwork or gifting money to an institution that didn't do their due diligence.
Mm. Well, you mentioned that people were nice to him when he donated art, something that he wrote in his bio that he submitted to the University of Cincinnati that he was unfamiliar with. Has he unwittingly exposed something deeper about art as currency?
I don't know. I mean, these things are going to have an educational value for generations to come. They really don't have any monetary value. I've actually had people try to contact me to get Landis's information because they want to buy these things, and I just don't reply. We don't need any more of these forgers out there in the art world.
So are you going to think twice before next time someone pulls up and says, I'd love to donate some art to you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, people, like I said, they have to do their due diligence and, you know, be professional about it, and not only check the provenance of the artwork that they're either going to be gifted or maybe purchased at auction, or from someone's estate, but also do your due diligence on the donor or the place that you're going to purchase something. I think that institutions are going to have to do a little bit more homework before they accept anything or purchase anything. This is the strangest case of art forgery that the museum world has known in years, you know, as stated by the New York Times last January. And actually, if the listeners want to go to YouTube and type in Faux Real exhibit, they can see samples of some of the forgeries that we have in the show.
Matt, we do have a link online, and I really want to thank you for a terrific story and for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Matt Leininger, co-curator of the Faux Real exhibit. As you mentioned, we have links online to more on the show. And coming up, we're going to be hearing about the bloggess, her inappropriate life. That explains a lot when word of mouth continues.